Manuscript Releases, Volume 7, Numbers 419 to 525. MR Number 435, Mrs. White's Work and Travels in Australia. I'm getting to be very tired of moving. It worries me out. Settling and unsettling. Gathering up manuscripts and scattering them, to be gathered up again. If I should look to my poor, finite self, I should soon become discouraged. But in looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, I take courage and press forward with his name on my lips to the mark for the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. We cannot sit down with folded arms, and yet what can we do? A door of thought was opened that I could not close, and I lay awake nearly one entire night. I have said over and over, God help me to make no mistake and leave no duty undone. I could not attend meeting yesterday, was troubled with heart difficulty. I've been unable to breathe freely for days. Today I decide again to buckle on the armor and go to speak to the people at Seven Hills. Our party returned and broke up my future faith prospecting. They gathered up my pillows and we moved on our way back, as far as it would be prudent for me to walk. Again we halted, and a seat was made for me to rest a while, and we did some more talking and planning. There is no place in which to entertain our people but at my home. Last night we lodged 17 persons. They report this morning that they have all rested well. We shall keep a free hotel as long as we are living in Granville, for there is no other way to do. We shall have to have council meetings and committee meetings at our home, and those who come to these meetings must be entertained at our house and sit at our table. We like to have them here, but it is almost a constant draft upon us. Although the Melbourne taxation has been great, I thought I should indeed improve if I could live to get to Tasmania. But after sleeping more hours of a night than for years, I have no strength. My heart is weak. I can scarcely totter about the room. We all have been suffering with epidemic influenza. I spoke to 80 people assembled in the new mill 4 weeks since, took cold, and suffered considerably. We are now in midwinter, have had several frosts, and 2 nights there has been ice 1/4 inch thick. I am so thankful that next Sabbath we shall be able to meet in the dining room of the second building. This will be a great blessing to us all. We cannot lathe and plaster the building this season. There is no money to do this. But the enclosed building will be sufficient to protect us from heat and from cold, and will be neat and sweet and wholesome, so we can finish the work with fresh courage. Thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy and his love. I think this little crisis has been a great blessing. It has brought us all to a proper spirit of unity one with another. I began to feel wonderfully stirred up in my mind. Why, I said, am I too late with my suggestions? Have the preparations gone so far that it would be a sacrifice to change now? As to the matter of that, was the answer, had your suggestions been a day later, we would have been at some loss. But now we will require only taller timber. The shorter cuts can be used on the building you wish put up. I said, I will be responsible for the change made. If any censure come, let it fall on me. You will be to the expense of getting tents, and to the labor of pitching them. The students should not be put in the room over the mill. The influence would be demoralizing. Now we have this 2-story building nicely enclosed. This day I will praise the Lord for his goodness and his love and compassion to me. I scarcely feel my infirmities. I have prayed most earnestly for the Lord to give me health and strength to place before the large congregations in our camp meetings the importance of the message that is kept before us. We are now planning to attend the next general conference, taking the boat that sails in August. My mind has been wrought upon, and I shall come. I wrestled 3 nights in prayer, at different times. I could not consent to go, and finally I decided. I cannot think of being gone longer than 2 years, leaving here, Australia, the 1st of August. I need not wait for reflection before saying that I believe the best plan is that of first strengthening the work in Adelaide. The climate is more healthful, and the spiritual atmosphere much more favorable than that of Melbourne. This is the way that the matter has been presented to me, but I hope you would decide the matter from your own judgment. I believe that after placing the whole matter before the Lord, the brethren will come to a harmonious decision.
It has been plainly presented to me that the sanitarium, which you are planning to establish, should be located in the most healthful place you can secure. But my warning is that of the angel that, standing in Melbourne, said in a clear, distinct voice, "Establish not schools or sanitariums in the cities. In the future, cities will certainly feel the terrible results of earthquakes and fires. Cities will be destroyed by flood and by lightnings. Out of the cities is my message at this time. My eyes trouble me, but I am thankful that at my age, 69 years, I can write. My heart is full of matter I am longing to write out. The truth burns in my soul like fire. I must trace the words upon paper. How can I forbear? I took for my subject, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall be revealed. The discourse was a warning in regard to the closing scenes of this earth's history. The power of God came upon me. Words came in the demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. I am certain, if I ever get out the life of Christ, I must either get a lodge in some vast wilderness, or a place wherein I can hide away, and not be called upon to labor here and there and everywhere. Oh, that the Lord would indicate the place where I can be free from perplexities and constant moving, and be able to complete this work. But I mean to make the best of my opportunities. When we are trying to do so much speaking here and there, filling this and that call, my time is so broken up that I cannot do justice to my writings. Since the 15th of August, I have spoken 17 times. I spoke last Sabbath with my new teeth, and spoke quite well, but my gums are too sore to take much pleasure in them. It will take time to restore health to the gums. I know I shall enjoy my teeth very much, for Sister Caro is a superior dentist. She has all the work she can do. I hope you will see if you can secure a cottage in the suburbs of Sydney. A rather strange thought came to me. Why not see if Fountaindale, Mrs. West's place, cannot be hired for 1 year at a reasonable sum, and just let me and my workers go on the place and get out the life of Christ? I merely mentioned this. I long for retirement. We have a company almost continually, and we cannot see any way but we must have company. There is no place but my home to entertain comers and goers. I have a large, convenient house, but it does make it bad upon my girls who do my work. They are just as precious in the sight of God as I am, and I cannot see them overworked and feel guiltless. The horse became unmanageable. He was too long for the shafts, and the carriage crowded upon him. He began to kick. Thud, thud, went his steel-clad heels into the carriage, stoving in the fender. We were thoroughly frightened. Elder Starr jumped from the carriage and was at the horse's head. I thought, I have an appointment to speak in the hall at Sydney, and I should fill that appointment. The horse continued his business of kicking, but I believe the angel of God was on the scene. Sister Starr, Emily and I hustled out over the door, for we could not open it in our haste, and thank the Lord we all landed safely on the ground without a bruise. We had turned off from the main thoroughfare just in time and were on a by street. We made our way to a pile of rocks by the roadside, put my cushion on one, and I was seated upon it, and Sister Starr and Emily found similar seats.
My heart was in a sad state from the fright. My head ached. My heart ached. I was, for a little time, tempted to think that at my age, I ought not to be travelling about, but to be settled down where I could have quiet and rest. Sabbath, I would have been so pleased to be relieved from speaking. I was tired and exhausted. I went to the meeting, praying the Lord to make his strength perfect in my weakness. And the Lord heard my prayer. We learned that the boat did not leave until 2 o'clock. It was to have left at 11 o'clock. We had everything like baggage stored away on Friday. We were sorry to leave on the Sabbath, but we could not help ourselves. Everything was in our staterooms, except the hand satchels with sleeping garments we had used during the night. Wednesday morning. Brother Israel was at the boat to meet us, and had engaged a house for us, all furnished, to go into at once. Oh, how thankful we were to get on land and to find a convenient place to stay. Brother and Sister Israel had everything ready for us, and we soon felt at home. Released May 23rd, 1975.